But if you don't have the Lord to hold on to, it just gets more difficult and more difficult and more difficult. He never promised us we would not have pain. He never promised us we would not have problems. But he did promise us to take us through them and bring us out of them. So the only thing we can do is trust sometimes. That's the only thing we can do. It's the only thing that really can, as Renee said, satisfy us. It's the only thing that's going to get us through the situations that we find ourselves in. I just want to encourage you, tremendous encouragement through the songs this morning, with trusting, trusting, trusting. If we lose hope, we've lost everything. Today we're going to be looking at the sanctuary again, and found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. We're going to look at it in a different scope today. I don't know about you, but there are certain disciplines in the Christian life that may be difficult, more difficult than other disciplines. A couple of disciplines that's difficult for me, one is fasting, and another one is prayer. It just seems like sometimes it's just my prayer time is hard at times. But I find if I have a plan that it can help me in my prayer time. About 20 years ago, I was listening to a pastor speak on the sanctuary prayer. What I'm sharing with you today may or may not be what he shared, because my memory doesn't serve me very well 20 years later. There's a pastor named Yonggi Cho, David Yonggi Cho. You may be familiar with him. He's the pastor of the largest church in the world, only about 180,000 members. He's probably retired. I think he's retired now, and his son is now the pastor of that church. But he shared about the sanctuary prayer, and it always has resonated with me, and oftentimes I go back to that. And again, what he shared, I don't remember, but this is ways that I pray. And so if it matches up with what he did, great. If not, here's a lot of times when you need to just kind of adapt things to what fits you. Okay? What he shared was great, but it didn't fit me, and so I adapted it to fit me. So what I'm going to share with you are some things that fit me, and if you need to adapt it to fit you, then please adapt it. Okay, this is just one of the plans that I use in my prayer time. And so there are like seven different, I would call them prayer stations, that we look at in the sanctuary. And so, before we go any further, would you stand and stretch your hands across the aisles, hold hands with someone, and if there's something in your life today that you need special encouragement for, would you just squeeze the person's hand on both hands, whatever, and let them know that you need some special encouragement, a special prayer today. And as we sang a while ago, in that hymn, I've proven him over and over and over and over again. I have proven him. God is a God that doesn't lie, and he cares about you, and he will meet you right where you are. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for what you're going to do today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get to the next level in our maturity. Help us to get to the next level in our relationship with you and fellowship with you. Lord, you are a glorious and a wonderful and a mighty God. Lord, you haven't forgotten about us. But Lord, oftentimes you allow these circumstances to come our way because we need to seek your face. And so, Lord, we come before you today, and I pray that you would help me as I present the message that you've laid on my heart. God, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask you to push up a picture of the sanctuary, Josiah. As a matter of fact, in your bulletin, there is a tabernacle that is presented for you. There are lines and spaces that I'm going to ask you to fill in. If you don't have one of these, I'm sure Larry can help you get those. So if you don't have one and want to lift your hands, you can have that, and it'll help you as we go through the lesson today. So inside the sanctuary, there were all of these furnishings, and we shared last week how that these furnishings were all applied blood to them so they could be sanctified and set apart. We also discovered that the reason this sanctuary or this tabernacle was created, do you remember the reason it was created? I'm sorry? So God could dwell with his people. So God could come down and visit with us and talk to us. What an astounding revelation. And what an astounding privilege we have of a God, the God, coming down and wanting to visit with us and speak with us and share with us and carry us through these difficulties. I'm going to read Hebrews 9, verses 1 through 5 as we get started. The first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in the tabernacle. The first room had a lampstand, a table, sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called a holy place. And then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. In that room were a gold incense altar, wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. And above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. One of the things Scripture teaches us is when we come to a place of prayer, when we come to a time of prayer, we need to enter that with songs of thanksgiving and praise. You may say, man, I'm not a singer. Then just speak it. Just speak it. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 4, there's a passage of Scripture that says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with. Do you know that chorus? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. So as you enter your prayer time of prayer, enter with thanksgiving, enter with praise. Sing a song. Sometimes that's the way I enter my time, is singing that little chorus over to the Lord. So we enter the place of prayer with thanksgiving. And the first thing we approach is the altar of burnt offering. The altar of burnt offering. You see that on your paper there. And it's so I want you to, right beside that altar of burnt offering, I want you to put the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. So this is a place where the priests would come and they would offer the sacrifices of the people. But it's also, should be a reminder to you and to me of the sacrifice that Jesus paid. So when I come to this place of prayer, I come to this altar and I'm thanking Jesus for his sacrifice. But then I also realize that Jesus asked something of me as well. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Scripture says, and you can write this reference there below sacrifice if you would. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So when you come to that place and you're offering yourself to God, what does that look like? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, there are some things in my life that I'm going to lay down today. And I want your plans to be my plans. I want to follow you today. And so, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. So you're laying your life down. Scripture says that we're to take up our cross daily and follow Him, which is basically die to self. That's hard to do, isn't it? All of us have selfish desires. But if we really want to get on what God's doing, we have to lay down our life and let God be the one that kind of lives through us. And so we become a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. We become a living sacrifice. And we're allowing Christ to dwell in us and through us. The next area that we come to is the laver or wash basin. And I want you to, beside that word, I want you to write cleansing. They made this wash basin out of bronze. And particularly, it was really highly polished bronze. As a matter of fact, if you look with me in Exodus 38:8, it says, Bezaleel made a wash basin and its bronze stand from bronze mirrors donated by the women who served at the entrance of the tabernacle. So at that time, they didn't have polished silver things. They had bronze that they used for mirrors. Really polished. And Bezaleel said, I want those polished mirrors and I'm going to create this wash basin out of these polished mirrors. So that when the priests came to wash their hands, this wash basin, they could see themselves, allowing them to take stock of who they were and the sins that they carried. And so as we come to the wash basin and we're praying, there's something that we need to look at. We need to look at our sin. And we need to confess our sin. And we need to repent of our sins. Not just look at our sins and go our way, but we need to look at them, see what those sins are, and we need to confess them to the Lord. And we need to repent. Do you think that needs to take place daily? Yeah. You know, you may say, man, I had a good day yesterday. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't sin, but what were you supposed to do that you didn't do? So there's sins of omission and there's sins of commission. Things that we commit that we shouldn't have and things that we should have done we didn't do. And I know when I come here, a lot of times, man, I have to just ask God to forgive me for my selfishness, Forgive me for my self-righteousness. Forgive me for just everything to do with self, because I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. And so I'm coming before Him. I'm asking Him forgiveness for these things. And then not only asking forgiveness, but repenting, which basically means to turn away from those things. Okay? So you're turning away. Lord, I didn't do this so well yesterday. But today, I want to keep my eyes open more clearly for those who don't know You as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I want to be a bold witness for You today. I wimped out yesterday. So Lord, forgive me. And so you're coming before the Lord. You're confessing your sin and you're repenting of that, basically saying, you know what? With Your help, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay? So the next place we come in the tabernacle is the candlestick or the menorah. And for this place, it's for the illumination. So we're asking the Lord to give me illumination. Help me to see the things that You see. Give me spiritual eyes so I can see what You see. Every one of us need illumination. John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to the people and He said, I am the light of the world. If you follow Me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Every person, myself included, when I choose not to follow the Lord in an area, I'm walking in darkness. Okay? I'm walking in darkness. And so we really need the Lord to show us our paths. We need Him to show us the way we should go. And if you go the way Jesus leads you, you will never stumble, because you will always have light. You will always have the path that you're to go on. And so I want to encourage you, allow Jesus Christ to be your illumination. Allow Him to show you where you should go, what you should do. Some of you are in a situation right now, you don't know what to do. Do you think Jesus has an answer for that? Do you think He wants to show you what to do about that situation? And I'll tell you from experience, your best wisdom is not going to get you where you need to be. Only the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, only the wisdom of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is going to illumine you and show you what you need to do about any situation you find yourself in. And that only comes through reading God's Word and prayer. Another portion of this candlestick is the oil. Now, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so at this point in my prayer, I'm asking the Lord to fill me with His Spirit. I'm asking Him to allow me to be permeated by His Spirit. It is impossible for this light, this candlestick, to have any light if there's no oil in it. Okay? And so we have to begin praying the Lord that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that we're able to accomplish what God has us to accomplish. I just, on your communication card on the back, on September the 30th, I'm going to be teaching a 7-week study on Spirit-filled life or Spirit-filled living. Okay? And I've written a manual so that you'll have homework to do every day. It's a devotion. Every day. And so I want to find out, I need to know how many to print out. So I need to know if you're going to be a participant or not. And so if you will fill that out. I grew up, and the church I grew up in, the Holy Spirit was not mentioned very often. And the church I grew up in, I read the passage of Scripture. We were told we need to be filled with the Spirit, but I never knew how to do that. And so, hopefully, through this study, you're going to not only understand how, but you're going to be walking in the Spirit. Every now and then I get a call from people from the neighborhood saying, "Are you a Spirit-filled church?" I say, "Well, it depends on what Sunday we come. It depends on if my people are walking in the Spirit that day." That's not what they're asking. I know what they're asking. But according to Ephesians, the Spirit filling is the fruits of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. So I want this church to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? The next article of furnishing that we come to in the tabernacle is the table of showbread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," John 6:48. John 1:1 says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. His word is life." Ask him to, and so we should ask him to reveal himself in his word. So when we talk about the table of showbread, I think of not only Jesus being the bread of life, but I also think of him being the word of life. So when you start, when I get to this portion, I ask the Lord, "Lord, would you reveal yourself to me in your word? I want to know you more. I want to relate to you better than I've been relating to you. I want to have better fellowship with you. And so in order to do that, I need to know you more. Would you reveal yourself to me as I read your word?" And as you do that, the Holy Spirit begins to illumine the passages of Scripture. He begins to allow you to put in to practice those things that you're learning from God's word. Jesus is the truth. Amen? His word is truth. And we need God to reveal to us his plans and his ways. We need to know him relationally. We need his word to bring fresh revelation to us. And we need to pray, "God, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more." And that's where I began to, you know, kind of camp out there at the table of showbread. The next item we see is the altar of incense. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 4, Scripture says, "The smoke of the incense, mixed with the prayers of God's holy people, ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out." Did you know that your prayers are like incense to God? So, spending time in prayer and petition to the Lord for the things that you have need of, for the things that you have concerns about, for the things that you have that your family has concerns, those things that are on your heart, those are the things that you began to bring to the Lord. Are you concerned about our country? Bring that to the Lord. Are you concerned about family members? Bring that to the Lord. The things that are on your heart, sometimes God just allows things to happen so that we can approach his throne. And when we do approach his throne, we can approach it knowing that he's going to hear our prayers. The last place we come to is the Holy of Holies. I think you remember in the Holy of Holies, there's the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, inside the Ark was 10 Commandments. Aaron's rod that budded. I don't have time to go into all of that, what that's all about. And then there was some manna. But I want you to understand, when we come before the Lord, do you know what the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called? Called the mercy seat. Called the mercy seat. The commandments are inside the ark, but covering the commandment, and all of us have failed, all of us have fallen, all of us have broken those commandments, but God put a mercy seat on top of this covenant, on top of these things, so that we could find mercy in our time of need. God is a merciful God, He's a loving God, and He allowed us to come before Him using the mercy that He gives us. In Hebrews 10:21-23, it says, "Since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise." And so this passage of Scripture says that we can come right on into God's presence, which is where the Holy of Holies represents. And so we can come right on in to God's presence. And so God says to us, let's have communion together. God says, come. And when we come before Him, we need to come in reverence. He's not the man upstairs. Okay? He's not the man upstairs. We need to come in reverence. We need to recognize who He is. We need to recognize His holiness. We not only need to recognize who He is, we need to recognize who we are in His presence. And so we need to come in reverence before Him. We also need to come in sincerity, with a sincere heart. Did you know that God says that He, in James, it talks about when we pray, that the prayers of a sincere, righteous man avails much. In James chapter 5. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 5:16. When we come before the Lord, we need to be fervent. We need to be sincere. Do you find it hard sometimes to keep from being distracted? Yeah, in your prayer time. Man, that is so difficult. And so what God is saying is, listen, when you come before me, I want us to be connecting. I want us to be connecting. When you're talking to someone, and they're just kind of looking around, how does that make you feel? Not very important. Like they got better things they need to be doing. When we come before the Lord, hopefully by this time our minds will be where we can focus on Him in sincerity. And the Scripture says also that we need to come boldly before the Lord. We can come boldly before the Lord. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be in anxiety. We can come boldly before the Lord and make our requests to Him. And when we come before Him, we need to speak out loud to Him. Tell Him who He is to you. You might want to go through the Psalms. You might want to go through the Old Testament, New Testament, and mark some things where it is that shows you who God is and who He has become to you. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Is He your Savior? Is He your provider? Is He your healer? Who is he to you? Tell him who he is. Lift him up. Adore him. A second thing you need to do is reason with him. And Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord of hosts." What do I mean by that? State your case before the Lord. Tell him what you need and why you think it's important that he move on this. He said, "Come and let us reason together." Then listen to his advice. Listen to his voice. Allow him to speak into the situation. "Lord, what are you saying about this situation?" Do you think God is a reasonable God? Did you know that you could reason with him? He said, "Come and let us reason together, says the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they should be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come, let us reason together. If you've got a situation that's going on in your life right now, I would encourage you to go and reason with the Lord about that situation. Reason with him. Tell him why you need for him to move in this situation. Why it's important. Moses reasoned with God. As a matter of fact, the last portion of this, speaking out loud, remind God of his promises. Not only do you reason with him, but you remind him of his promises. God said, Moses, "I'm going to destroy Israel and I'm going to make a nation of you." And Moses said, "God, I want to remind you of your promises. If the nations see you destroy Israel, then they're not going to trust you." Pastor was sharing with me two weeks ago. His daughter had leukemia, and the Lord told him she's going to get better. Well, she didn't get better. She got worse. And so he went before the throne and he started reasoning with the Lord and reminding him of his promises. Everyone else who has this leukemia dies. But Lord, you made a promise and I've told everybody about your promise. And so your name's at stake. And guess what? The girl got well. And some of you probably are aware of who that is. And it was a pastor here in town some years ago. But we need to go before the Lord and we need to talk to him. We need to reason with him. We need to remind him of his promises. Not that he's forgotten. But there's sometimes we just need to press in and press in and press in and press in until God shows us favor. We need to press in. And some of you are at that point in your life right now. I just want to encourage you to, if this is not the plan you use, maybe you have a different plan, but I just want to encourage you, find a plan and find some time and press in to the Lord. It's not easy to pray. For me, it's not easy to get rid of the distractions. It takes work. But I want to encourage you that God is a God who is on the throne and he wants to hear your prayers. So would you spend some time this week and in the future pressing into the Lord about those things? Don't just take a half-hearted attitude. So, well, if God wants to work, he'll work. Just keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, not only was this message for people